Today I'll try to give some more detailed explanation of a few things which some people may find useful. So the first thing which I would discuss, for example, it will explain you why at Stanford there was all this feeling that we have to invent something which is now known as KKLT construction, why we couldn't stay without it. And the feeling was a recognition that this is a prerequisite for string cosmology. We have to find something. It was known for 20 years that there is a modular problem in string cosmology. So why suddenly, a few years ago, we have realized that this is what we have to do? Or there is nothing we can really say. And so I'll try to explain it. And this has to do with much more precision in data. You will be surprised. It was not something else. It was just clear understanding that the data are pushing so that this modular problem become a serious problem. And then after it become clear that all kinds of things about stabilization of moduli are necessary, then, of course, for the last 2 years, many of us were working on different ideas how to enrich our possibilities of stabilization of moduli. And so I will in particular discuss something which forced me to learn about index of Dirac operator of the kind which doesn't exist in the mathematical literature because they don't have fluxes. They just typically study the standard Dirac operators. And so I will explain what we learned with regard to the index of Dirac operators on M5 brain as well as on D3 brain and what it has to do with this completely realistic story. So let me start with the first part of my lecture where I will convince you that there is no way to avoid this problem if you want to continue using string theory and in attempt to describe the effective four-dimensional space-time. So this is a slightly more detailed outline. So we will talk about landscape of string theory, that it is too steep and we need some flat places there. Then I'll talk about friendly and unfriendly situations which we could encounter, flux compactification, stabilization of moduli, and metastable de Sitter space in string theory is something which is the main topic of my lecture. But in particular, this will, as of today, the topic will be this Dirac equation on M5 brain in presence of background fluxes and what it has to do with instanton corrections. Those instanton corrections are stabilizing the moduli. And the same will be about the index of the Dirac operator on D3 brain with background fluxes. And again, the purpose is to stabilize the moduli. And George Freeman, who is the head of Astra laboratory at Fermilab, who was present on the first lecture, his first reaction, and in all discussion we had with him last summer in Aspen, he, as a cosmologist, knows for 20 years there is a problem of moduli. So what he wanted to know what exactly is new here. And so what is new, I think, that a number of people in string community have realized that this is a serious problem, that you have to do something about it. And indeed, we have found a couple of new things which were not known before because, for example, flux vacua were not known at the time 20 years ago when people were working. Also, they knew about Gugino condensation and other things. So here is the actual facts, whether we can afford runaway moduli, in particular dilaton and the total volume, and what the data have to do with this. On one hand, those of you here, on string theory side, you know perfectly well that the typical moduli have this type of Keller potentials, and therefore the kinetic terms are by no means canonical, right? This is quite clear. So for the dilaton, for the axion dilaton, that was appointed here. Yeah. So, for the dilaton, we have this log, and everybody knows it. And for the total volume, if it is just one volume, it will be three log. And as a result, this is the kinetic term of the dilaton action, and you divide it by tau minus tau bar squared. And for the volume, you divide it by rho minus rho bar squared, and this factor 3 is quite important. So what I learned during this last period of time, that what string theorists think of are kind of, they have this loose use of factors like 2 pi to the power 7 when they do compactification, trust me. So when they define the volume, is it the volume or it is the volume times 2 pi to the power 7, which is a huge number for a cosmologist. And so we had lots of confrontation on this basis when we were trying to get from string theorists those factors, and they would say, well, we don't know for sure. So, because it depends how you define L string. Is it 2 pi alpha prime equals 1? Well, there is something about 2 pi to the power 7, which I also learned was a big pain for Polchinski when he was asked exactly the same question by Copland. So this factor of 3 is significant. So for the dilaton action, you have just one log. For the total volume, you have this 3. And see where it leads us. So one complex modulo is the action dilaton, and the other is the total volume. Then to compare with observation, you should switch to canonical kinetic term for the dilaton and the volume. And for simplicity, I'll ignore the axiom, just to give the simplest possible example. So if you convert, so throw the axioms, and instead of a dilaton, you'll have phi tilde here. Instead of a volume, you'll have sigma tilde. They are both canonical. And this is the effective potential, which is the remnant of this 1 over some power of this. So you see square root of 2 and square root of 6. Now, I intentionally bring here this map because we have a huge precision now. So factor of 2 pi to the power 7 are absolutely unacceptable. So from this precision, what we learn more or less, that if we talk about something which is called primordial slope, which is ns, 1 minus 6 epsilon plus 2 eta, where in the canonical variables, eta, those are slow roll parameters, is second derivative of a potential divided by potential, and epsilon is the first derivative divided by potential squared. Those constants come together in this tilt of a spectra, and the derivative are necessarily for canonically normalized field, because if they are not canonical, you will get completely different numbers. And so the data point out towards this number. So when you take out 1 from this n, you see you are at the percentage level. So you need something like 1 over 100. And this is from measurements. Now we go to our case of dilaton and volume. And just for simplicity, I take a case when I have just one scalar field, and I reproduce what you have seen before in this form where lambda is a number. And then I'm asking what kind of lambda I could use for cosmological evolution. Cosmological evolution would mean that I have those slow roll parameters of the level which I want. So there are two different situations. Either I want to describe early universe inflation, or dark energy. Those numbers are different. So for early universe, lambda has to be of the order of 1 over 10. Then, as you see, when I differentiate it twice, I have lambda squared. This will give me 1 over 100. And the same when I will have first derivative of the potential over the potential squared. Again, this will give me a percentage. So my lambda has to be of the order 10 minus 1. If I want to describe dark energy, the lambda here approximately is of the order 1. So it could be larger than the one for early inflation, but not too much. Now, because we started with these modular parameters, which I have converted into canonical variables, I know the answer for those, and they are not good. So for the dilaton, it's square root of 2, and for the volume, it's square root of 6. So it is outrageously big if I want to reproduce either of those. Now, so the conclusion is both stringy modula have very steep potential, incompatible with the data, even for the current acceleration of the universe, particularly the total volume. So you don't have anything good here. And therefore, what you want to do, you want to fix the moduli of this type and find something else which has slow roll behavior. And so this is like the first glance. You see there is no place where you can have cosmological evolution, except you may try to find something like that. Now, in my example, I told you let's fix axion for simplicity and look only for the dilaton. However, in an example which we worked out, which we consider, which we call race track inflation, we used just the same situation as in KKLT, except we had, in addition to a constant term, two different exponents. And the Kelly potential, as usual, is for the volume. So then here is an example of effective potential for a complex field. And so the volume of the compact manifold and its axionic partner. And the situation here leads to very interesting situation, which is known as eternal topological inflation. The reason is the following. It is enormously fine-tuned saddle point. So this is the axion direction. This is the dilaton direction. And the system could spend a lot of time here and therefore could give you like thousands of e-folds of inflation. But it was important that we found this very, very flat region. And so it spent some time there, but then it drops off in a waterfall. And so as you see, the dilaton direction doesn't change a lot. The change is mostly in the axion direction, because the dilaton direction has a very steep potential by itself. And so the preference is to fix the volume. But this is an example that I'm giving you a slightly simplified description of the situation, that sometimes you can work when you have more than one scalar. So the situation is more complicated. But in principle, the best thing to do is to fix the total volume, because square root of 6 without anything else is completely bad for any cosmology. And by the way, this racetrack model, after a lot of fine-tuning, it produces for us the tilt of spectra 0.95. And it is, as of now, marginally consistent with data, but in principle, it may be ruled out by future observations. And so, despite the fact that we had this huge fine-tuning, we couldn't change one observable parameter. And as of today, the precision of the data is, Lev could confirm, is not good enough to rule it out, right? But it is marginal already, because their central point is 98, plus minus. So we really are in a strange situation that we put as much fine-tuning as possible. This is the only model of inflation which is known to work without any brains. We just have one complex moduli. And 8 people were working on it. And so we have this strange situation that each time somebody will announce the data, the first thing I'll do, I'll look at this number. Because it is nice to have a model which comes from very simple principle, except for fine-tuning. But after all, it is out of your control what it predicts. It is really falsifiable. So I hope I convinced you that there is something about fixing the modula before you can talk about cosmology which comes from string theory at all. Okay, so this is just a reminder that there is this somewhat popular idea of string theory landscape, and there are lots of very bad regions, very unstable, and hopefully somewhere there are some flat region where we can describe what we see. And I believe on one of the previous workshops here, either Achurai or Deneff may have reported their recent papers. They stabilized lots of new vacua, and I was very curious, and I'll tell you my thinking about it. So they provided lots and lots of G2 holonomy vacua, and Freund-Rubin vacua. And for both of them, they discovered that all de Sitter vacua are unstable, which means that they are either maximum or saddle point. They also noticed that here all anti-de Sitter vacua are unstable, but here they have seem to have some anti-de Sitter vacua, which are some of them are still stable. So the potential mostly unbounded from below. And so as of now, the cosmological constant is always negative, and they are trying to do something to make it positive. But the interest, my interest to this model, because one, first of all, it was just very recent. They have n moduli, and therefore they say each choice gives them 2 to the n different vacua. And my first question was, can we use it for cosmology? And because there are so many students now trying to find an interesting, doable problem, I suggested them to start working on this problem. I explained to them exactly what I explained to you about this, how flat are those positions. Amazingly, just today I got a message from a student who works on it. So the question was, can we use this new vacua, because there are so many of them, for cosmology? Can we find floral parameters depending on fluxes? My hope was that because there are so many fluxes, perhaps I'll change those floral. This is what he answers. I have attached a mathematical notebook with computation of floral parameters for canonically normalized fields in the single modular case. He just started. Note the expression is independent of the value of the flux. My hope was that flux will change it. Both eta and epsilon, which I showed you, are around 10, which I guess is a little high. And you see all it is very high. So, however, it may be that this changes as more modular fields are added. I'll work on that and let you know. So, as of now, my understanding with this huge new set of vacua which these people have provided, and they mostly worked on statistics, we still have to see whether it is useful for cosmology or not, whether they have any possibility of evolution of the kind which we expect. And in any case, even unstable situation can be used for our goal, which was population of the landscape. So their vacuum could just allow us to spread all over the place. And therefore, it could be useful even with this slow roll not being actually slow. So this is what I wanted to tell you about this general setting. And now I go to more technical issues, which I already described partially with regard to, it started with trying to give a legitimate place to this model in string theory, because it became clear that the stabilization of volume is not yet understood in this model, which has otherwise very good features. And before I go away from this page, I wanted to notice that when Josh Freeman asked me last time whether we have in string theory models which predict gravitational waves, I actually gave a wrong answer, so I was corrected later. So in particular, this model by Eva Silverstein and few other models by Krause and Beckers, they do have gravitational waves and typically rather strong non-Gaussianity. So those class of models will be enhanced or ruled out by future data. So it is interesting, because my answer was we couldn't find so far simple chaotic inflationary models which always have gravitational fields. But these type of models do have them. So it is useful to have as many models as possible because the data will be coming. Yes, please. That's true, yeah. So the model, as the same with this model of Krause and Beckers. I believe they They are both more phenomenological than I would say they are coming directly from first principles, which again tells us, see, the community will spend millions, I don't know, hundreds of millions of dollars, fly all these satellites and catch primordial gravitational waves. And this is where we, so as of now, those are the only models which have the gravitational waves as their prediction, but they are indeed not quite coming directly from string theory. And there is a lot of opportunities to make model which will, yes, Amanda. Right, so it would be good to do the following. As I gave you this example with the tilt of a spectra, this number today is 0.098, but it may change, and therefore we want to have as many completely legal from the point of view of string theory models with all kind of spectra, as well as having gravitational waves or not. So there is a, it is useful to know what will be measured, and in particular those two features are really, this is what you open the experimental paper, this is what they tell you. Okay, so I remind shortly this model, and many of you have seen it before. One of the reasons why I started with this much more general issue of when I have instanton corrections and when I don't, because this model, as you see, in KKLT model, there was an assumption that there is one volume and we can stabilize it. But here, this is a product. And so the volume of K3 is easy to stabilize. The volume of T2 over Z2 is basically you can't. If you take the statement that arithmetic genus of a divisor has to have value 1 and this one has to have, if I will choose a divisor which wraps this space at P1 in K3, the divisor equal, Dirac index will be equal to 2 and not to 1. And therefore, this model lacks this fundamental derivation. And therefore, I wanted to find out whether this is possible. However, if I would assume that the volume stabilization is possible, the effective D-brain potential is quite perfect. It is a small breaking of this shift symmetry via this log. And what else we did kind of recently, this is the data from delta rho over rho. Everybody has seen the 10 to the minus 5. Extremely difficult to get from string theory, these small numbers. Now, the way it works phenomenologically in this model turned out to be quite nice. So I have some fluxes on D7 brain, and I would expect that they are not at 10 to the minus something. I would expect, you know, 2 pi things, because they are integers. So how will I get in the end this 10 minus 5? It turns out that the fluxes have this 10 minus 7 times the volume of cube of sigma and divided by G string. So it is quite possible to counterbalance the small number which I need from observation by large volumes. And therefore, everything looks quite reasonable. And this is the value I have for this observable tilt of the spectra. So the model definitely is lacking this volume stabilization without assumption that it is possible. So I wanted to see if it is possible, and therefore I present again this major problem. And it turns out when we were trying to solve this problem for this particular model, the solution actually we have found for completely general class of models, and therefore I think it is more interesting. So one of the sources of volume stabilization which was not known at the time when early day cosmologists were trying to use string theory and stabilize volume, that you can take a brain, Euclidean brain, and wrap it around some cycles in compactified space. So I told you before, but now I want to go through this more carefully for a few people who may really follow. So what the answer before was the following, that the number which is minus 1 to the power n, and H0n is the number of harmonic modes on a given manifold. And this minus 1 corresponds to the fact that I have M5, I wrap it on a sixth cycle of the fourfold. There are two directions which are normal. And therefore, it is this normal direction which gives me the U1 and the corresponding charge. Okay? So this either gives me the instanton correction which I need for stabilization, or the conditions that I do have the instanton correction for a particular volume which I'm wrapping. The condition is chi equals 1. So for my model, chi was 2. But the derivation was only in absence of fluxes. So this condition from 96 was used all over the place. And then these people have realized that sometimes it is plausible that this condition could be violated and you can still have the correct counting. And for a year, I was asking my colleagues, so do I have instantons there or not? And the answer was, I don't know. So then we decided simply to count the zero modes. And the problem was nobody knew what is the Dirac operator on M5 brain. So we had to construct it. And then we have to define the index and get the answers. So the action, Dirac action on M5 brain with fluxes includes this term, which is a four form. This is a well-known term. And you, some of you may see that this is just a supersymmetry transformation of gravitino, this total term. If you look at it carefully, you will see that this is delta psi A, and then it is contracted with gamma A, and this is a pullback on M5. Therefore, if you had delta psi equals zero, if you had some supersymmetric configuration, they would serve as zero modes for your Dirac operator. But even some non-supersymmetric, after you contract them with gamma, may still give you zero modes. And so it is not one-to-one correspondence between number of unbroken supersymmetry and number of zero modes of Dirac operator. So here is this action. This is an equation because it is quadratic. And so this is a flux. There are three legs on a sixth cycle and one in the normal. And then the counting, which Witten proved. So I'd like to show you how it works when there are no fluxes. So if you don't know a lot about algebraic geometry, what you do, you write down the equation. And first, let's look together at Witten's proof. So what he says, so let's ignore flux. This is the equation, Dirac operator on positive chirality and Dirac operator on negative chirality. In absence of flux, Witten's proof goes as follows, that the M5 brain is wrapped in a sixth cycle inside the compactifying fourfold. And so there is a bundle in which spinners take these values, and then you have to know all these notations. In the end of the day, the chi equals minus to the power p H0p, where H is the number of zero modes of Laplacian on this manifold. And this is called holomorphic characteristic or arithmetic genus of the divisor D. So where you put the fluxes here was the problem. And so we had to translate it into completely different language. First of all, we had to understand what is the U1 symmetry, which will weight a new index. Because when we're trying to find anything in mathematical literature on this, there was no help. And the main point about this F chirality, which we introduced, is that when you have flux, first of all, the reason for this U1 anomaly comes from the fact that M5 brain has SO5 as a transverse structure group. And the major assumption is that 11-dimensional supergravity has diffeomorphism, which is valid after all the anomalies. And if it is valid, then this is what should happen. And therefore, in Witten's case, SO5 was broken down to SO3, which was the usual R3, and SO2 was a normal. Now, in our case, this flux transforms as a vector, and therefore, the states are not states of a given chirality when you have a flux. So Dirac operator mixes them. This is what happens. So in presence of flux, the gamma 5, the corresponding operator which defines the chirality, changes the sign. So the total definition of an index was a complete puzzle for a while, and we were not sure that we will ever understand what is the index of Dirac operator. But then after we have defined that simultaneously with chirality transformation on a spinner, we have to change the sign of a flux, then this become a covariant operation. And so this was a new definition of the index of Dirac operator. And this is the statement that gamma epsilon of minus F equals plus minus epsilon of F. So not only the chirality of fermion has to change, but flux has to change simultaneously. Because this whole transformation is the memory of 11-dimensional diffeomorphism. So the flux has to be weighted by F chirality. And so we have defined this new index, chi d, which is a function of F. This was the first step. Then we have set a set of equations. These equations are the same as they were without flux. And on the negative side, this didn't drop. So assume you don't know any of these symbols from algebraic geometry, and you are a physicist, you want to solve Dirac equation, you say, so this is my ansatz. I have some Clifford vacuum, I have some scalar, I have some tensor, I have some vector, and I have some freeform. And there is nothing else you check. Then you act with your operators, and you just solve it. Here are the equations. So there is the action of dA on a scalar, of d bar on the tensor, and this is one equation, precisely as without flux. Same here. Those all equations, they act on our Clifford vacuum. There is some combination of gammas, and it is only one equation which knows that there is a four form present. In fact, we have taken 2-2 form, which is primitive. Under this condition, the the equations are precisely as before, apart from one term. Now, you want to understand Witten's result from 96. Throw out this term and just solve this equation and you reproduce this arithmetic genus. This was my first surprise. So, without fluxes, we reproduce chi on divisor equals 1. However, when fluxes are present, we can solve it. And so let's go back and look what is happening here. There is a new constraint on solutions of the following nature. If we put a projector on harmonic modes in this equation, then this term drops, and this remains. And therefore, the new equation which the system has to satisfy is a new constraint on zero modes. So it includes the projector onto harmonic modes on this expression. So if I have some fluxes, you see, those are 0-2 forms, which were making impossible stabilization of vacua. Therefore, they are so important. Now, this new equation simply tells you that if you have particular flux here, and it is not zero, you can then check under what conditions either some part of this vanishes or the total 0-2 form should go away. And so for generic choice of flux, the system has a maximal rank. And therefore, you see that in principle, you can kill all of those forms which were extras. so that your chi, instead of being equal to 1, was equal to 2, and there would be no corrections to the instant term. So this is completely general, and so what we have in the paper is derivation in what we call in human language of the result which was given in the language of algebraic geometry of the case without fluxes. And then we have a solution which, however, includes, in addition to all the equations which exist without fluxes, also this one. So therefore, in principle, we should have many more cases when we will have a possibility to get instanton corrections. So here's our answer. So the new computation of the normal bundle anomaly gives this index, which is the previous one, minus the number of tensors, minus some number n. This number n is dimension of solutions of constraint equation, and it depends on fluxes. So we have not studied many examples yet, but clearly the answer is general. And so if we want to have instantons, the chi of d must be equal to 1, and this chi doesn't have to be equal to 1. So in particular, this n could contain the some number of 0, 1, and 0, 3 modes, and still we will be fine and we'll have corrections. And so this is completely general, and now my example was kind of a driving force for all this story. So this is just a statement that in general we get 10 to the 500 more possibilities to get flux compactification. But here is what I want to do more carefully now. So let's look at this K3 times K3 from this perspective. So I start with M5 brain. It wraps the sixth cycle, which is K3 times P1 in the second K3. So I have a fourfold, K3 times K3. Now, K3 and P1 have even cohomology. And therefore, the Dirac equation without fluxes has only positive chirality solution. So without fluxes, epsilon plus gives me H0, 0 and H0, 2. And chi, according to Witten, equals 2, no instantons. Sorry. However, now that we have added fluxes of this particular form, and those of you who know it, this is just a holomorphic times anti-holomorphic 2 form on each of the K3, the same for the other one. And now what we did, you plug this flux in this constraint equation, and then you can solve it. And so what you see, that the particular properties of holomorphic 2 forms here, when you project onto non-harmonic piece, and this is a contraction of omega 1 with omega 1 bar, so then we are left with omega bar 2, and the harmonic projection is itself. Therefore, the only way to solve this equation is to say that phi AB times some gamma matrix is 0, and therefore this is not a solution in presence of fluxes. Only this one is left, which is exactly what we were hoping. So we do have instanton corrections. See, our equation, let me remind you again. This was the equation. So if I know a particular form of fluxes, I contract it with 0, 2 form, and then I solve this equation for each case at hand, I'll find, for example, that this means that H02 is absent. And this would bring me in the class of models where I can stabilize the moduli. Okay, so this was one side of the story. In parallel and simultaneously, we were working on Aspinwall on the just this particular example. And the conclusion I reported also yesterday, but I want to bring it here because there were a few questions and I want to describe a couple of formulas for you so that you make this trip from perimeter not for nothing. Okay, here's the statement that the way we have it as of today. We insist that you can fix all the moduli, and it goes via this situation. So we have this tadpole condition. So G squared, in absence of two brains, has to be 24. This flux G, which I called F before, could consist of two parts. Either G0, which is 1-1 form times 1-1 form, or 0-2-0-2 forms. So we choose 0-2-0-2 because they break supersymmetry. And then if we use this, we can continue here with the following. So this is again about this attractive K3 surfaces. So we choose this holomorphic 2 form via some particular choice of alpha and beta form which belong to H2 on each K3 surface. Then the 4 flux has a specific expression. And so what happens that if we choose space-like 2 plane in a way that it is determined by the flux, it follows that complex structure of S1, which is one K3, and S2, which is the other K3, are completely determined by fluxes, which is what I was telling you by this explicitly attractive K3. So this is part before instantons. We just choose flux vacuum along this line. Then the statement is that there is a Picard lattice of K3, and this simultaneously, there is an orthogonal transcendental lattice, which is orthogonal component of Picard. And because the flux is an integral 4 form, we find that there is this transcendental two-dimensional lattice spanned by these alphas and betas, which in my talk of yesterday were P's and Q's in the attractor mechanism. But they are simply properties of this surface. So you may know only the description of this system in mathematical textbooks. But there is a parallel between every single thing here. So if the rank of this Picard lattice is 20, then the rank is maximal. And therefore, S1 and S2 are attractive K3 surfaces from the textbooks in mathematics. It has nothing to do with whatever we are trying to achieve here, just the textbook information. Then attractive K3 surfaces using mathematical language, they were shown to be in one-to-one correspondence with SL2Z equivalence classes of positive, definite, even integral, binary, quadratic forms. This quadratic form is the one associated to the inner product in this transcendental lattice. And so this is for each of the surfaces, you can write this matrix Q via some integers, 2a, 2c, b. And in my yesterday lecture, this was p squared, q squared, and pq for each of the K3s. And then, again, we introduced this flux via alphas and betas, and now you see a complete equivalence with the p squared and q squared and pq. And J is simply 1 and 2. For each K3, I have this description. And here is the constraint coming from the tadpole condition. So G squared is trace of the product of those two matrices. And because G squared has to be equal to 48, this puts a restriction on our choices, how many of those flux vacua we could have. So at this moment, the statement is that it is an interesting question to ask whether there is an infinite number of flux vacua in this context. Here is the equation. Okay? So roughly speaking, those are p squared, q squared, and pq on each lattice. But the product of them has together give me the number. So one can try to find an infinite number of solution of this, trace q1, q2 equals 48, modulo SL2Z equivalence. It appears to present a somewhat awkward problem in number theory and remains unsolved. So we decided for now that we will leave this problem open. But the fact is, you clearly state the conditions from tadpole about all number of fluxes, but one has to take into account this SL2Z equivalence. So for now, what we are saying that So the theorem. Suppose G flux on S1 times S2 yields M theory compactification in 3 dimensions with N equals 2 supersymmetry. If the number of remaining Keller moduli unfixed by flux is fewer than 20 for each of the K3, and the resulting surface is not necessarily singular, which I have no time to explain, then we have moduli which remain unfixed by instanton effects. If the number of moduli unfixed by fluxes is 20, then generically all of these moduli are fixed by instanton effects. So what we are positive now that we can fix the moduli. We even know what can go wrong so that we do not fix all of them. Now, then we have this discussion that since we it is known that from M theory you can go to orientifold limit. Remember, I would like to have type 2B, K3 times T2 over Z2, and not M theory on two K3s. But those two are related via F theory limit, and probably few of you know it better than I do. So I look at this argument and I don't trust it fully. So I decided instead of using this chain of dualities, which will tell me what will happen in type 2B, I decided to go ahead and set up a calculation directly in type 2B and do the counting. And either I will have again the correct answer, which will confirm this chain of dualities from M theory via F theory to type 2B, or not. And the answer, yes, everything works well, and the corresponding paper is on the way. So what we do here, now we have a lot of experience with what is the Dirac index of Dirac operator on D3 brain. And again, we're solving the problem completely in general situation. By the way, we test our example also. So this is what is happening. So now we study Dirac equation on D3 brain in presence of a flux. And now the brain is wrapped on a fourth cycle in compactifying Calabi-Yau threefold. Now again, the computation is reduced to solution of some finite dimensional linear system in car homology. And this system depends on the choice of a flux. We have the analogous routine. And we find that models which we start with chi equals 2 without flux acquire an effective chi equals 1. And therefore, in all cases which we need now directly in type 2B, without any knowledge about what is happening in M theory on K3 times K3, we find exactly the same situation. So let me give you a few nice details because Don Marloff is here. So there was a paper by Don and Martucci and Silva a couple years ago. And more recently, Martucci, Rosso, Antoine van Troyen, and van Blecken have written a paper. So it is amazing how beautiful are those fermionic actions on brains. They actually depends on just supersymmetry variations. See, all we have here is the variation of gravitina contracted with gamma pullback on the brain and variation of gelatina. So if we have unbroken supersymmetry, it already tells you you expect some zero modes. But you can have more, and therefore, again, it is not in one-to-one correspondence. Then there was an issue of how to gauge fixed kappa symmetry. And so what Martucci, Russell, and van Blecken and van Troyen did, this is type 2B. You have theta 1 and theta 2. And they spend a lot of effort proving that the gauge theta 2 equals 0 is admissible gauge. Everything works fine. And we spent some time using this, and then we came to conclusion that because we have orientifold in our example where we have T2 over Z2, the gauge is incompatible with orientifolding. So we had to find another one. And everything then afterwards was working nicely. So this is more or less the issues which we are still sorting out because the work is in the process. So it turns out that orientifolding and choice of gauge for fixing kappa symmetry have to be compatible, and this is highly non-trivial, but can be done. After this is done, we have set up the basic equations. we have counted the fermionic zero modes on type 2b side. And so what we have here, we can wrap a D3 either on K3 or on T2 over Z2 times a P1 inside the K3. And they are all perfectly fine because the new index equals 1. In presence of those G21 fluxes, which are primitive and allowed by supersymmetry. So everything works like quite well. So here is therefore the answer, that the volume of K3, volume of T2 over Z2, and other Keller moduli, there are 20, get stabilized by instanton corrections. So first you use the fluxes in a way that you have attractive or explicitly attractive K3, and then you see, after this is done, you have a condition that all remaining moduli could get this e to the minus rho from wrapping brains. But only because you have precisely those fluxes who made for you out of generic K3 an attractive K3, which is rigid. So altogether looks like a nice picture, which in this particular example, I still like the example because I see good choices of phenomenology for cosmology. On the other hand, those more general classes of models will come from it. And I checked with Antonello Grassi when I was in Philadelphia, just one second, that all models which they were running would always use chi equals 1. And so they will have also more models to stabilize. Yes, please.
I didn't understand the argument why these corrections are stabilizing. I understand that they get potential.
Yes, correct. That is correct. So I kind of missed the part of the story, which is it goes by the name KKLT construction and is based on the fact that, see, if I would have four fermionic zero modes, it would correct the prepotential or Keller potential, will not contribute to the potential. Only when I have two fermionic zero mode, I would have a correction to the superpotential. This is what happens. So the typical situation that when I have W, I have e to the minus rho, this by itself will not do anything. But I have also something coming from the Keller, which is log rho minus rho bar, and also I may have either exponent or sometimes I may have constant part in the superpotential. And so what we know, because this is what is known as KKLT construction, if you have either more than one exponent or a constant part and Keller, they together give you the following. Normally, the runaway moduli, so this is, for example, sigma, the real part of the rho. This is the actual volume of six-dimensional space. It will just run away. So this is sigma. So this is potential. And this is sigma. And the space wants to be 10-dimensional, roughly speaking. Six dimensions want to be as big as four dimensions. And then we're stuck because we observe an effective four-dimensional cosmology. So what this construction does, and why this term was of such a crucial importance, it makes first something like that. So there is a ADS dip here, which fixes the module at some particular value. Then, in addition, and this is why KKLT construction is consisting of few parts and people were improving and developing on it, but typically it is a scenario with few ingredients. Then you have to add something which comes at the tip of the conifold. There is a contribution from anti-D3 brain, which is of the order 1 over sigma cube. So this is the curve of this kind. When you put them together, you end up with something which is called these days metastable De Sitter vacuum. Now, without this term, nothing works. You just have run away. And so this term was, for all these years, we knew that only you can wrap the brain only on a cycle with arithmetic genus 1.
But at the time when Ed Witten produced the theorem, fluxes were not there. And the major question was, will fluxes modify it? And the homotopy arguments tell us it is very difficult to change the index. Now, the reason why they are not relevant here because of this mixing of chirality. So the new operator do not act in the old space. Therefore, you can't make it just, adiabatically switching off. And therefore, the index really jumps and gives us, now in many new cases, you can find a possibility of stabilizing the volume at finite value. This one? Oh, the first crucial point is to stop it in anti-de Sitter. The second crucial part is to uplift it. For example, when I was now in Philadelphia, I know that on one of the workshops, Bort Overuth and his collaborators were explaining that they have found now new gauge bundles when they can see a standard model coming out nicely. But, however, what he told me is still not clear. They work on M-theory with on heterotic side, so they cannot easily do this uplifting. So they still need to stabilize few moduli, even in anti-de Sitter, but then they need to bring it all into de Sitter, and this is difficult in heterotic theory. Because this was this Klebanov-Strassler throat, where D3 is stuck at the tip of the conifold. And so there are things which people will simply have to work out to make their models. Even in this case of standard model, they are working precisely on these remaining issues. So I, yeah.
So here there are 21 calories.
Okay, I was a little bit sloppy here.
Yes, but is it practically possible to say where are the minima and then measure the volume?
This is what I plan to do. Not yet, because see, until recently, the other 19, there's those cycles internal. So whatever they are, I don't care. Of course, I care about the total volume for phenomenology. And how to make it in the best possible way is absolutely the next question. And if it is not working, fine, we will go with many other models. Because what I would like personally to see that here is string theory, and we use only legal methods. And this is the model which we derived, which we present as the possibility to describe cosmology, and we sit and wait till they measure. And we should have a class of these models with very different predictions, like some should have gravitational waves, some should have NS, 99.9, and some should have 95. But each of them, string community should agree they are as legal as possible in terms of that we believe the derivation was solid and not just, desirable. We really want to derive it. So I practically finished. And so this is just what you have seen before. If we're lucky and we have all this landscape, we'll have some flat directions. Some will be very high, and they will give us some parts of eternal inflation so that the universe will be completely different at different regions. And then we will focus on something closer to us. There will be some trees coming out. And finally, hopefully we'll have these 60 effoldings where we are, because this is what we observe. But it seems that if we can find those flat directions, this would be very good. They're not easy to find, but everybody who was like in Switzerland knows this is not impossible. And of course, in string theory, the way things worked with the index of Dirac operator is quite amazing. So it's just a good mathematics anyway, which we could have done without any desire to connect to cosmology. But in any way, I expect that people will really try to clean those models which are derived and those models which are phenomenological from the very beginning, because this will be the test. to which extent we can go from the first principles in string theory, higher dimensional supergravity, and get things which are falsifiable by the data. Thank you. So I will check on you my hope that if this model will work in terms of giving me sufficient volume, then see, each time I have a DC brain to wrap around some volume, I'll fix this volume. Now, the meaning of the distance between D3 and D7 doesn't look like anything on which I can wrap anything. So I hope that this will be the only moduli which stays unfixed, apart from corrections due to fluxes on D7. At least this would be an expectation, because I cannot wrap on the distance anything. So in four dimensions, all of them are scalars. Therefore, you have no way to judge what is going on. When we try to get into interpretation of all of those moduli having geometrical meaning, some of them, all the Keller modules, they are volumes of space or some cycles. And therefore, as long as we can provide this arithmetic genus with a count of fluxes, giving us a condition that in front of the exponent I don't have zero, but some number, of course there is a hard work of calculating those e to the minus rho, and actually finding them. But at least if they are non-zero, we can expect to fix them. But we do not want to fix the only module which is giving us this flat direction. Because, see, the other, if they are not fixed, they will destroy everything. Because they will immediately put us into low-level collapse of a full system during cosmological expansion. So the hope is, if at all this scenario will work. If this scenario will not work, we'll just do other things. But as of now, it is still doing well for now.
Are there any other questions?
Oh, this is precisely what helps a lot. See, we don't need De Sitter space for inflation. We need a near De Sitter space. So we need a controllable deviation from something being... This is why I showed you this log. That, yeah. But I don't want something which strongly suppresses the possibility of a brain to move slowly towards D7. Because if I fix something, I really want rigid volume.
What about
initial velocity is something which is a huge set of new problems, initial conditions in general. I agree. So I have not considered it yet because there are so many issues. And what I was trying to make is by trying to use to make this example with an answer, do I have in principle instanton corrections or not? I think what we actually have now, we have models. Assume this one doesn't work, but there are many others which may still work simply because we have instanton corrections now in many situations which without fluxes would not work at all, but we need fluxes anyway to fix complex structure, and therefore there is a hope we'll fix also Keller moduli. And so this tremendous problem of 20 years ago when every cosmologist knew string theory is not helpful because of modular problem, we see steps how to improve it, and this is what I was trying to explain, and I'm very grateful that you are listening. Thank you.